Good day, students. Welcome to All Saints Secondary School e-learning platform. I am Mrs. Florence Iwanyanwu, your government / CRK teacher. I am going to teach government for SS2. Remember that the last time we concluded local government administration in Nigeria. But today we are going to start a topic that I had already given you up to study in groups, that is the pre-colonial political administration in Nigeria. It is going to take us like 2 or 3 weeks to finish it, but please, you need to study seriously because the different administration varied from region to region. Now, it might interest you to understand that these regions had been existing before the colonial masters came. They had been existing on their own. Okay, performance objectives. At the end of this chapter, we are going to understand that the Igbos, Yorubas and Hausas independently were managing their affairs before the amalgamation of 1914. We shall also discuss the structure of the government. We shall also explain the roles of the components of their respective structures. And then last, we shall compare the different pre-colonial administration. That is, we'll compare them and see why they are the way they are. Because the system of administration during that period is still affecting the people till today. Now, let us take the Hausa Fulani political system as our first case study. Now, let's look at their historical background. The Fulani took over the political leadership of the Hausa state in the early 19th century. The jihad that preceded this occupation was seen as religious one as well as political. Othman Danfodio led the Fulani jihad and took over the political leadership of the Hausa and established the Sokoto Caliphate with outstanding centralized system of government. He introduced a new system of selecting and appointing rulers, described as emirs, to rule the caliphate. Each of the emirs owed allegiance to Danfodio and his two representatives at Gwandu and Sokoto. Okay. Now, after listening to this history, I'm sure you'll be convinced or you will now understand why the Fulanese are doing what exactly they are doing, because they believe that they can get anything they want through war. They believe in killing. In fact, it has been there right from the beginning. They had taken over the Hausa estate, the Hausa state, you know, through war. They conquered them. As at that time, the Hausa people were not Muslims. The history told us that they were pagans. But because they were conquered by the Fulani Emirate, they introduced Islamic religion, which is the order of the day today. Now let's look at the political administration. Let's look at the emirate system. The caliphate was divided into emirates, and each was headed by an emir. He had the responsibility of making laws, enforcing them, and maintaining peace and order in his emirate. He was expected to administer the emirate in accordance with the provisions of the Islamic and Sharia laws. In fact, he was believed to have the divine right to rule. However, each emir was assisted in the administration of the emirate by a number of advisors. Now, When I was teaching monarchy system, when I taught you monarchy system rather, in SS1, I made reference to the Hausa Fulani political system. Okay, I told you that it was monarchical. All right, it was monarchical. And it was also hierarchical. Okay, in Nigerian politics, that is where we have the highest level of hierarchy, from the highest person to the least person. So in order to make the administration work, they have a kind of division of labor, division of functions. Different people were in charge of different functions. And they don't know how to say no. The Sultan had the ultimate power. And whenever he gives directives, no one goes contrary to the directives. And they made the division of this function as follows. Number one, they have the waziri. He was the head of all the officials. Number two, they have the galadima. He was in charge of the capital. Number three, the madaaki. He was the commander of the army. Number four, the dogari. He was the head of the police. Number five, the Maji, he was in charge of treasury. Number six, Sarkin Rua, the river fishing official. Number seven, Sarkin Father, the head of the palace workers. And the last one, but not the least, Sarkin Power, the head of all butchers. I want you to understand that in this kind of administration, these people are given particular work to do accordingly, and they did it with utmost obedience. Okay? Waziri was a very senior advisor and administrator. He was the prime minister. Now, Supreme Headquarters, Sokoto and Gwandu were the seat of the emirs. The emir of Gwandu controlled the Western Empire, while the emir of Sokoto controlled the Eastern Empire. They appointed emirs in each of the emirates under their jurisdiction. Are you getting the story? These people were empowered in such a way that they have people that are responsible to them. What I mean by being responsible to them, who give reports to them. They have people that were answerable to them. Okay, district administration. Each emirate was divided into districts for administrative convenience. An official known as Hakimi was usually appointed by the emir to administer the district. Hakimi was serving a purpose of a local government chairman. You see, earlier, when I was in secondary school like you, I didn't really get it straight until I had opportunity of serving among the Northerners. I actually served in Kano State. Okay, that was when I had opportunity in one of our CD days. We visited the Hakimi. Hakimi is just like a local government chairman. He is in charge. Whatever happens in the local government, the Hakimi is the one that ensures that the administration is run smoothly, and he is accountable to the emir, while the emir is accountable to the sultan. Okay, that's the way they did it. Now, another one is village heads. Village heads. Village heads were appointed by Hakimi to help in the collection of taxes, e.g. cattle tax. Cattle tax was also known as jangali, and maintenance of law and order in the villages. We shall see that this particular point is one of the reasons why indirect rule system succeeded in the north. By the time the colonial masters came, you know, they realized that these people were already used to paying taxes. It was one of the reasons why
indirect root system succeeded. But we're not talking about indirect root system now. But I just want you to understand that these people were already used to paying taxes before the white man came.
Legislative functions. Islamic laws were the supreme laws of the emirate. The emir had the capacity of making laws on matters which were not covered by Islamic law. That means he served as the law himself, whereby those rules that we are not written in the Islamic laws, if someone commits a crime, and probably that crime has never been committed before, it is the duty of those of them at the top to improvise a punishment. Okay, now let's look at the functions of the emir. All right, what are the functions of the emir? But before then, I think I need to, re-emphasize on the function that is the judicial functions. Okay, the judicial administration was based on Sharia laws. The judicial administration was based on Sharia laws. In fact, recently someone was saying that they are trying to enshrine the Sharia law in the constitution of the country. And I was surprised because Nigeria is practicing a secular constitution. That is a situation where different religious groups could cohabit. How come someone now wants to bring the idea of enshrining Sharia law? So having a Sharia law, there are so many things in Sharia law that are undemocratic. Okay, as at that time, what they practice, their judicial functions was based on Sharia law, and it was administered by Akali judges. It was administered by Akali judges. These Akali judges are people that were trained under Sharia law, okay? They were specialists, especially when it had to do with Sharia law. Now, the emirate system was highly centralized one. It was a highly centralized one. The emirs possessing almost all the powers in authority. When we are going to make this, when we start comparing, you will understand why these people are different. Why we can never be the same. Their system of religion is different. Their belief system is different. Cultural system, everything about them is different. Okay? Their system is different. We shall see. By the time we conclude this of the north and go to the west and the east, you will understand why it is difficult to live together. Okay. Now let's look at the functions of the emir in the Hausa Fulani traditional political system. Number one, appointment. The emir appointment of officials. It is the emir that appoints officials. Okay, it is the emir that appoints officials because he cannot do the work alone. Another function is provision of social services. He provides social services. Another one is communal work. The emir organizes his people for communal work. Okay, roads and palaces. That is, what if there is a need for them to do something together? We did communalism in SS1. He is the one that will organize them. In fact, when you watch some of these Korean movies, especially if you look at North Korea as a case study, they are still practicing communism. Okay, and everything revolves around one man, the emperor. It revolves around one man. So this emir, as at that time, was very, very powerful. Now, the next function is defense. He organizes people for defense against external attacks. He is the one that will organize his people
if there is external attack. Islamic law. He enforced the Sharia stroke Islamic law throughout the Emirates. That is why we have to be careful. And that is why, as young people, you should also be careful with people you interact with. Their target is to make everybody conform to the Sharia law. Whether the person is a Christian does not really matter to them. Now, one will begin to wonder, why should a particular set of people, you know, want to force their religion on others? Is there no freedom of worship in this country anymore? Okay, that is a question everybody needs to get an answer from. Okay, we have spiritual head. He was the spiritual head of the Emirate. He was the spiritual head of the Emirate. Law and order. The Emir maintained law and order in the Emirate. Taxation. He imposed and collected taxes, e.g. haraji and jangali taxes, respectively. He is the one that imposes the taxes and see through the collections of these taxes. Another function of the Emir also includes allocation of farmland. He allocated farmland to the people, which is different from what we have in our own side. Ceremonial functions. He performed ceremonial functions. Okay? The Emir honored brave warriors also and conferred traditional titles on worthy citizens. Well, you will get everything better when you go through this topic on your own. To tell you the truth, whenever you go through this topic, you will understand why the Northerners are behaving the way they are behaving, because they have not yet embraced the truth that we are not the same. They are still trying to use the system Othman Danfodio used in the early 19th century, that is jihad. And for them, shedding of blood does not mean anything to them. Okay, I want you to start reading the topic if you have not started already. Check out the political administration, check out their functions, and check out the functions of the Emir. And in our next class, we are going to look at the Igbo political system. I hope you have learned one or two things today. Hope to come your way next time. Stay safe.